Welcome to CWH. I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, was so pleased each week to be able to broadcast messages from the Word of God where you can hear the glorious gospel and we can worship together. We continue to hear such heartfelt notes from our viewers. A viewer in Colorado writes, "Pastor Salem's messages are the best. He has always been a great inspiration for me. It gives me great joy to know how so many countries hear his sermons." And a note from South Dakota reads, "I watch Christian Worship Hour every Sunday. Thank you for broadcasting the wonderful messages of Pastor Salem. It's great that you get the gospel out to so many around the world." Today, Dad shares a timeless message of a witness, a girl from the Old Testament, and lessons we can learn from her. We hope you will be enriched by the sermon, "Meet Little Miss What's-Her-Name." God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And the weeks go by, don't they go by rapidly? And I'm going to tell you something. When you're older, 95 years old, they go a lot faster than when you're 15. I can tell you that. But it rolls by. And so here we are, going together at the feet of Jesus, going to worship this wonderful, wonderful Lord. And we're going to talk about a little girl. We don't even know her name. And she's in the Old Testament. And she is a great witness. We get a lot of good lessons from her. So just call your friends and stay tuned, and you're going to get a blessing even if you don't want one. You're going to get one. So we're looking at Psalm 105 in the opening verses. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing praises unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." Oh, dear Heavenly Father, as we read this, it just makes us tremble to think of your greatness and your might and your power. And it also makes us rejoice when we think of your love and your caring. Because those who call upon the name of your Son, those who receive your dear Son Jesus, we become your children, and you are our Father. And as a father pitieth his children, loves his children, so you pity and love us. And we rejoice that we can have that wonderful relationship. So we can talk to you, and we can walk with you, and someday see you face to face. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Hank's going to sing about prayer. He's got it entitled, "Prayer is the Key to Heaven." God bless you, Hank.
Prayer is the key to heaven. But faith unlocks the door. Words are so easily spoken. Prayer without faith is like a boat without an oar. Have faith when you talk to the Master. That's all he'll ask you for.
Key Have you ever prayed for something big or small? How long did you have to wait? Or did the answer come at all? Words are mere expressions of thought, nothing more. Believing, my friend, is what really counts. And faith unlocks the door. Have
faith
when you speak to the Master. That's all He'll ask you for.
Thank you, Hank. You know what Hank did? He just sang a sermon, because that is the gospel truth. God is there, but it is by faith. And what does the scripture say? Without faith, it is impossible. It's not possible to please God. You have to believe. You have to trust. And it's just as simple as that. God says something, and we say, yes, I believe, or we say, no, God, I don't believe you. So we trust the Lord. And that's the secret of prayer. And, you know, every child of God can pray to the Lord. And something else, if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, if you've never accepted the Lord, there's one prayer that He'll hear from you, and that is, dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sin. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord can be saved. And I don't care how many sins you've got. And I don't care if it's sins against light. I don't care what your sin is. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And God will forgive you if you come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. I did. And oh, it's such a joy to know those sins are washed away. And God says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, don't you love the gospel? Don't you love God's word? That's the only hope in this world, is a wonderful word of God. Well, our letters. We get letters saying they like the letters. And sometimes I get the feeling they like more letters than sermon. Well, that's just not going to happen, brother, sister. God called me to preach, and I can read these letters, and I get a little sermonette, but I can't even get wound up. So, you know, that takes a little time and a little warming up and going. But we're going to read some letters. And we'll read them as long as you send them. Here's a letter from Shenandoah, Iowa. I'm a born-again believer, but I'm backslidden. I'm trapped in a besetting sin. I ask for your prayers. Pray that I would have a sorrowful and repentant heart and a broken and a contrite spirit. And he's got it just exactly right. You know, David had some terrible sins. And he says, a broken and a contrite spirit, God will not renounce. God will not despise. And if you come sincerely to Jesus, He'll forgive you all your sins, and you'll never have to face them. They're all washed away. Here's Worcester, Massachusetts. I appreciate your country style. This is the way it is. You know that? I don't know how you could tell, but I'm a country boy. I was raised out on the farm. And you talk about the people out in the sticks. We were so far out in the sticks, the sun set before it got to our house. It's just hard to believe. Well, here he says, I appreciate your country style. This is the way it is. The Bible says it, that's it. But with love and true compassion. That shows, I love it because it shows the lost in this hate-filled and deceived world is the only way to heaven. May Jesus touch every viewer that watches you and plants a seed in them to learn more and more. And may God bless your ministry and bless you. I was always taught to remember, tithe where you're taught the truth. And so here he's saying that you just don't doubt God. As our old seminary professor said, when God puts a period, don't you put a question mark. Don't question God. Here's Spencer, Iowa. I'm so glad I am back in his flock after falling away from him for a while. But through your messages, I know he still loves me. And because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and God's grace, I have the hope, faith, and trust that I'll be with him in heaven. Isn't that beautiful? And you know, here's this dear person, I don't know if a man or woman anymore, it doesn't matter. But they found that God loves them. Even though they drifted away, he still loves them. And the reason you can tell you that is because we preach the Bible. We didn't make that up. It isn't something we figured out. It says what God says, when we sin, it doesn't matter how far we sin. So St. Paul says he was a chief of sinners and God saved him. If he can save the chief, he can save all of us. And so God loves you. He wants you to come to him. But I want to remind you, I want to warn you about something. God loves you with so much that he gave his son. And no matter what your sin is and how deep in sin you are, he loves you. But there's going to be an end to that love. Because when we die, God tells us in the book of Hebrews that when we die, after death, the judgment. That is, after we die, and if we haven't received Jesus, no more love, judgment. And so I don't care what your sin is, God loves you. He wants you to come to him. But once you pass that death marker, there's no change. And you know what? You decide whether you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. You decide. Nobody does it for you. And if you decide, I want Jesus, and ask Jesus to come into your heart, you're saved and you go to heaven. If you reject Jesus, it's eternal loss. And I pray that you'll just put your faith in the Lord. Here's Port St. Lucie, Florida. Thank you for keeping your service simple. Nothing fancy, just Jesus. I love your love for Jesus. Lord bless you. Well, Jesus, if I've said it so often, so many times, if if you don't love Jesus because you don't know him, you never trusted him, you don't know him. If you meet Jesus and get to know him, you'll love him. And the longer you know him, the more you'll love him. Here's London, England. London, England. This is a telephone call. We had a 20-minute talk, or a little over 20 minutes. Here's a man in London, and he's watched the service, and he's drifted away from the Lord, and he's sinned against the Lord, and he wants to come back. And we talked to him about confessing his sins. This is what I told him. I said, you just come to Jesus and tell him your sins, and you're a sinner and sinned against him. And he knows it, but he wants you to confess it. And you say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you and I'll follow you the best I can. That is, I'll turn from my sins. Jesus taught that. He told the woman taken in adultery, go and sin no more. And that doesn't mean she's never, ever going to sin because we're sin as long as we're here. But he says, you're forsaking that old way of life and you're walking with Jesus. And this man, he's been a Christian, but he drifted away. So he's coming back like the prodigal son. And the father took him and loved him, even though he's in the pig pen, smell like a pig. God says that the father saw his son coming down the road, way down the road. You know what that means? Dad was out on that porch looking for his son to come down that road day after day after day after day. And finally the son came to himself and he said, My father has servants in his house is living better than I am. I'm going back to Dad, going back to my father. And that's what this man in London did. He came back to Jesus. He called again, and we had another good long visit as he rejoices in Jesus. Here is the one that I want to talk a little bit about, and that is, I would like you, Kansas City, Missouri, I would like you to explain what happens when we die. What happens when we die? So I want to just take about a minute and talk about that. When you go to the Bible, you'll find out every person, every one of us is made up of three parts, a spirit, a soul, and a body. and the spirit and soul are never separated. They're together always. And so it's a spirit or a soul, the spirit and soul and the body. And all death is when the spirit and the soul leaves the body. That's death. For instance, it's illustrated in the book of Acts and the book of Luke, chapter 8. And it's about Jairus, a man named Jairus, and he's the ruler of the synagogue. And he has a little girl, 12 years old, and she dies. And he goes to Jesus, and he's asking him if he can help, because she's just sick when he leaves. Can you come and heal my daughter? When they get back, they say she died. And then this is what we read in Luke 8, verse 55. They come to this room where the little maid is lying. She's there. The body's there. And it says, and Jesus put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying unto her, Maid, arise. And listen to this. Listen to this. Her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her food. Here it is. She's dead. And when her spirit comes back, she's alive. See? Same things happens in the Old Testament. When Elijah comes to this home and this widow's son has died. And Elijah goes, and it says that he went to the boy's room where the little boy is. And he cried unto the Lord and said, Elijah cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. That's what he prayed. May the child's soul and spirit come into him again. And Elijah took the child, and he says, and he came again, and he revived. He came to life. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. So here's Simmons, plain as day. Death simply means the spirit and the soul leaves the body, and then they go to heaven or they go to hell. And James talks about that in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 26. James says as plain as day, the body without the spirit is dead. The body without the spirit is dead. So the body is not the person. The body is the house, the temple, the tent that we live in. And the person is the soul, the spirit. And that's why, for instance, here, if you cast someone into the flames and he dies, you'll be charged with murder. But if the spirit and soul leaves that body, they can cremate it and it's nothing to it. It's just a body. It's all in that spirit and soul, don't you see? And soul, the soul is yourself. And Jesus, listen to what Jesus said. He says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the world and lose himself? Your spirit and soul is yourself. Your thoughts, your memories, your ideas, and all of the rest of it. So Paul said, absent from the body, but at home with the Lord. Spirit and soul leaves that body, and the Christian goes to be with the Lord, and so are we ever with the Lord. And so what we have to do is this. We have to be sure we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. John 3:36, it says that he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. You have to have Jesus. And when you have Jesus, you have eternal life. And that spirit and soul, when it leaves that body, goes to be with heaven. But if you don't have Jesus, that spirit and soul goes to the place of torment where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's what Jesus said. I'm quoting Jesus. Can't go wrong quoting Jesus. So you have to have Jesus. And here's the thing. I can't give it all in a sermon now. I have sermons on this, but we have a tape. We have a cassette, a CD, and a DVD, and it talks about when the spirit and soul leaves the body. What is death? What happens? And if you'd like that, we send them on a free will offering basis, and you write to us. I'm going to give the address right now. It's the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now, you write to us and you just tell us you want the CD or the DVD about death, and we'd be glad to send it to you. And then while I'm on it, if you want to send a gift to help us in the work, we have to pay our way just like anybody else, and we wouldn't have it any other way. The Lord Jesus Christ is not begging people. We never have to apologize for Jesus Christ. And I never hesitate to ask for money for Jesus Christ. It never bothers me a bit. As a matter of fact, I kind of like it. Because then a lot of people squirm around and they get nervous. I got a letter just this the other day. I think just yesterday, I can't just remember exactly. And this woman, she says, I was going to send a check, and I was going to put down $50. And when I wrote it, I wrote $100. Well, the Holy Spirit's telling you something, sister, and that's what you need to do. He says, now listen, is the Christian worship hour, is that something that God is using? Is God in that? Is God using that to help the people to come to know Jesus? Is that helping Christian people? Is that comforting the people that can't get out and we are our church? Well, if it is, then you need to help us. And you can do it by writing. We got it on the screen there. And those of you on shortwave radio, get your pencil here because I know you won't remember it all. Maybe you will, but I wouldn't. It's a Christian worship hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then if you want to, you can set it on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. And you can do this anywhere in the world. We hear from the Philippines. We hear from Norway. We heard from Japan and some other places. And you can send it. You can use your currency, and we get it in an American currency, and we go downtown and pay our bills. christianworshiphour.com. And then you look, it says donate. That means you're going to give something. And then you look for PayPal. You pay, and we're your pal. You don't pay, we're still your pal. Can't get rid of us. We love you. God loves you. We love you. But we need your help. Now, here's something else I want to mention. We have a little Bible study we put out every month. And it's called the New Song. New Song. And this month, it's a little Bible study on the greatest verse in the Bible. Greatest verse in the Bible. And if you guessed John 3:16, you guessed it right. And it's just a beautiful little study. Every month it's something different. And it's free and postpaid. We really ought to charge you, but we're just such so good-hearted, we just can't do it. And so you write and we'll send that. One other thing I want to mention, and that is, you don't know us from Adam and we don't know you. And you say, well, if I send my money, how can I trust them? I've heard of some of these evangelists, and they got all kinds of cars and boats and everything. Some of them do. Some of them don't. Some of us are on the level. And how can I tell if I'm on the level? How can I know? All right, we're a member in good standing of an international organization, and all they do is check the books of these organizations that are their members. They audit our books, and they check every penny we get, and every penny we spend, coming and going. It's called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And if you want to, you can get them on the internet. You can read all about them. But we're clean as a hound's tooth, and every penny goes to the preaching of the gospel and the furtherance of the gospel in one way or another. So I hope you'll write. Let me give it one more time for those who are on the short wave. Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give as the Lord lays on your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for all who help us. Some of them don't have anything and they're praying for us. We thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, Jan. Boy, I just love to hear Jan play, and it just, boy, it really gets me stirred up. I'd like to preach right this minute, but we've got a song, a beautiful song, but we need to look at the scripture, and then Barb's going to sing, and then I'll still be fired up, so don't leave. We're going to have a good time. We're going to talk about a little girl, don't even know her name, but boy, did she leave a mark in the Bible, a mark for posterity. Well, we're reading from 2 Kings chapter 5, and the first five verses, 2 Kings. And we're also going to be praying. We're praying for Eritrea. And we always pray for one of the areas where the persecuted church is going through hard times. And Eritrea is going to be our goal today. And that means that all over the world, all of us are praying for that particular area. But in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, we read, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and they brought away captives out of the land of Israel. And one was a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria. He would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is in the land, that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story. I can just see that little girl. I don't know if she's even a teenager. Maybe she's only 10, 12 years old. At any rate, she was a little girl. And she's unknown. Nobody knows her name, but you know her name. And that's all that counts. Like the widow that gave her mites. Gave the last thing she had. It says that she gave her two mites, which make a farthing. And then Jesus says she couldn't eat till the next day. That is, she didn't have any money. She gave it all to you. We don't know her name. We don't know the little girl's name. You know her name, and that's all that counts. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we pray that as we read this story, it'll strengthen our faith, and it'll guide us in our thinking as your people. And it'll show us the way we ought to live and how we ought to act and how we ought to honor you and think of you like the little girl did in every turn of life. Lord, we want to pray for the Christians in Eritrea and in the Middle East. And we just pray that, God, you'll help them to know that they're a great inspiration to us. And as they suffer, they help us. We don't have to suffer in the United States and many parts of the world, but in some parts they're paying with their life. And when we see that, it challenges us to love you more, to give more to your work and to your cause, and to openly witness for you, and even come to the point, yes, if we had to die, oh, give us grace to die, and to do it rejoicing and glad that we can give our lives to the Savior. Help us to be in the same camp with the same people because they're part of our family, the family of God. So now, Lord, bless us in this service. Oh, may there be many that will call on the name of the Lord and be saved today. And maybe some of the Lord that are discouraged today, and maybe they're all alone, and maybe they're shut-ins, they can't get out, and they're weary, and they're sick, and they don't know what a day will bring forth. And may this, the Holy Spirit, take the word of God and bless every one of them and encourage them and give them strength because you are on their side. You're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And someday you're going to come and take us all to be with you. And won't that be something? So bless us in this service and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb has a song, "This World Is Not My Home." And God bless you, Barb.
This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Well, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know, 'cause I made it right with Jesus so many years ago. The songs of sweetest praise drip back from heaven's door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Well, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Well, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Well, I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Well, amen, Barb, and that's right on. This world is not our home. And you say, well, when are we going home? When is the Lord going to take us home? Well, might be before the sermon's even done. We don't know, but we know he'll come again. And if he tarries long enough, maybe he'll take us one by one and take us through the valley of the shadow of death and take us into heaven, take us into home. But one of these days, Jesus is coming himself. And Paul tells us that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So that's where our comfort today is. But Jesus is coming again. So take heart. Never give up. Well, I love this story. I remember having this story in Sunday school about 90 years ago, something like that. My mother read that. Can you believe it? I cannot believe it. It's that long ago. But my mother read a Bible story every night and had a little prayer and gave us a kiss, put us in bed and gave us a kiss. Oh, I had a sainted mother. Next Sunday, next week, we're going to celebrate Mother's Day. So you get a card for your mother. Do something good. We'll talk about that next week. So this little girl, and we don't even know her name. So she is captured. It's a story about a little girl. And the story is about a man named Naaman. And this Naaman was a commander-in-chief of the Syrian army. And at a time when Syria was a great and a mighty power, they're having their troubles today. But there was a day everybody feared Syria because they were so strong. And he served under a Syrian king whose name was Ben-Hadad. And in Israel, they had a ruler, a king named Jehoram. So this Naaman was a celebrated Syrian army official, and he was the number two man in the empire. Only just the king was over him, and then he was this man. And he was loved, and he was respected, and he was admired, and everyone. Indeed, he was a great general, but he was a leper. And I gasped. I remember hearing that story in the Old Testament when I was a child. I didn't know much about leprosy, except I knew it was no good. It was bad, bad. And this man is a leper. And so this might have been the end of the story. As far as Naaman goes, he might have died of leprosy. But on one of his raids into Israel, and they're plundering and all of the rest of it, and they take booty right and left, and they take whatever they want. And here they see a little Israelitish maid, and they took her captive back to Damascus. And Naaman says, I'm going to take her back. She's a pretty little girl. I love to see her. And I'm going to make her a maid, and she can take care of my wife and help my wife. She'll be a great gift for my wife. Maybe it was for Mother's Day. I don't know if they had Mother's Day, but they had mothers. I know that. And so he gave her to his wife to be her personal attendant. That is, she was her slave, but she had a very special place. And so we see if she was far from home, and he took her to Damascus. And so you can just think of how this little girl, just put yourself in her place. Night after night, here she's been taken away from her mother, her dad, her grandparents, all of her friends and her loved ones. Maybe she's seen some of them killed in battle as she's taken, and as she is in this foreign country. And I can imagine that little girl, night after night, cried herself to sleep because she wondered, where will it happen to me? Where are my people? I'm all alone. Poor little thing, cried herself every sleep. But then this little girl, when she heard them, well, they were talking, and they're talking about Naaman and about his plight and how he has leprosy. And this little girl goes to Naaman's wife, and he says, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Naaman's wife can't imagine. She says, here's this little girl. She says that prophet in Israel could heal him. And so she tells, talks about it, and she tells, and they had a prophet there named Elisha. And he did have great power, and God could do that. Only God could heal the leprosy. When you had leprosy, you died from it. But Jesus came and healed the lepers many times. And so here's Elisha, and he can do that. And so Naaman's wife tells her husband, she says, you know, this little girl says that Elisha, that prophet in Israel, can heal you. And Naaman kind of huffs it off and laughs it off. But he tells the king, Ben-Hadad, and the king says, by all means, yeah, I'm going to send you there, and we're going to try. We're going to find out. And there is no earthly cure for leprosy, but Jehoram thinks. And he says, Ben-Hadad, he gets a message. Ben-Hadad sends a message to the king of Israel. And he says, I'm going to send my messenger. And here he is with you, Naaman. And I want you to heal him. I want you to heal him. And I'm sending you some money and all the rest. And the king, and the poor old Jehoram. This is what he says. He says, I don't know what I'm going to do because we know that nobody can heal leprosy. And he wasn't even sure about Elisha. But he knew that that was impossible. He says, Ben-Hadad is going to asking me to do something impossible. And when I can't do it, he's going to come to war and do war on me. And he's petrified. He doesn't know what to do. And so when he gets into Israel, they said, well, you go to the house of Elisha and you talk to Elisha. That's the place to go. And so he goes, general arrives at the prophet's house. And it's just a little old rundown place, a little very common place. And Elisha's in there, and he comes up with all of his chariots, and he's has all of his medals on him, and he'll scare you half to death. He's a good man, a great man, but he has great power. And he comes up, and he wants to pray this prophet to come out and heal him. And he has in his mind, well, he's going to come out, and he's going to say, be healed. And then we'll go back home, and I'll give him all the silver and gold and raiment, and that'll be wonderful. But Elisha doesn't even come out. He sends his servant out, a little servant of God named Gehazi. And he doesn't even come out. Well, probably he's having prayers or something, and he was talking to God, and that was more than he's not going to talk to worry about talking to Naaman. And so he's talking to God. And so, there they are. And everybody's there. And what does he do? He sends out Gehazi. Well, Naaman's mad as a wet hatter. And he says, he doesn't show me any respect. And I thought he would come out and he would do something to heal me. And here he is, sends his servant out. And so here's Naaman. And what does he do? Everything is there. He doesn't even give Naaman the time of day. He sends out Gehazi. And so Gehazi gives the orders. And he tells his little, here, this servant, I can imagine he's probably a skinny little thing. And he's there. And he's telling this great big general. He says, Elisha says, you go to the river Jordan and you dip your seven times. is what he says. Elisha says to go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman is livid. And he says he's offended in the first place. And now that's bad enough to be not have Elisha come out. And now this little scrawny little old thing comes out of Gehazi. Probably when he get to heaven, he'd probably be a big giant. But for my sermon, he's a little guy. I like little guys. And he comes out and he says, go and dip in the Jordan River. That's insulting. And it's double insulting because they had rivers in Syria. They had the Farfar and they had Abana River. And they really were better than the Jordan River, because the Jordan River, it's a slow-moving thing and it winds around and twists around and finally ends up in the Dead Sea. And it's kind of a muddy little old river. And here's Naaman. They got better rivers in Syria. And he is mad, good and mad. And he's commanding they're going to return to Damascus. And he doesn't know what he's going to do with Elisha, but he's going back to Damascus first. And then one of his servants, one of Naaman's servants, had nerve enough to say, this is what he said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? In other words, it's a gentle word, just a quiet word. And he says, my father, he's not asking, if he's asking you to do some great thing, you do it. He's not asking any great thing. It changed the whole picture. You know, that's what we're told in prophets. A gentle word will drive away, turn away wrath. Just to, in your way, your husbands and wives, and you're getting upset about something, just settle it down. Just a gentle word will tempt the whole thing and turn the whole thing. And that's what he did. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Proverbs 15, verse 1. And Naaman says in so many words, well, all right, let's give it a whirl. Let's give it a try. And they go to the Jordan. I can just you got to picture yourself a little. Think what happens. Here they are. Well, he's not going to go down in the river with all his metals, and those things will rust in there. Well, I don't know if gold rusts. But anyway, he's not going to get all his metals. So he takes all of his regalia off, and the servants are taking care of it, and they're watching everything, and he's getting ready. And then he goes down to the Jordan River, and he dips, and he looks, and he's still got leprosy. And he dips the second time, he's still got leprosy. And he does it 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 6 times. And every time he comes up, he's got that leprosy. And he is getting more angry all the time. He's going to quit. But he says, no, I got to do one more time, just like the prophet said. And he sows into, and he goes that 7th time. In the 14th verse of this 2nd chapter in Kings, in the book of Kings, he says, his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He was clean. Now, listen to this. That's not the end of the story. Listen to what happened. Naaman was born again that minute. Listen to what he says in verse 15. Same Naaman said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. And he returned to Damascus to worship the same God that you and I worship right in this service. The same God. And he's cleansed and he's strong. Now let's look at some lessons from this story. First of all, outward appearances may be deceptive. Never judge a book by the cover. There's more to it than there's always two sides. Here's look at Naaman. He has beautiful attire. He has a handsome uniform. He's highly decorated. To everyone, he is just a beautiful picture. And yet, beneath that clothing, beneath that veneer, he's a leper. Worse than death, he's a leper. Naaman could have given gladly all of his raiment and medals and honors and all of the rest of it, but he had to get rid of it. But he was a leper. And I want you to listen to me, friend. Whenever your lot in life may be, there may be the other side. And when you talk to people, you just be careful that you don't make a judgment on people without knowing the facts. We have the old gossips going around, and they take one look, and they know how to cut them down. They never build them up. You ever see a gossip that tried to build up somebody, tear them down? They think if they can tear somebody else down, it'll build them up. But what does it do? They drag them right down in the same gutter with the gossip. And so there's always two sides. And when you talk to people, help them just realize that when maybe they have a broken heart, maybe they're sorrowful, maybe they're sad. You know, there's a story during a time when King Jehoram, they were having hostile armies against Jerusalem, and people were suffering, and they were in the place where they were fighting over. There's one story about how they had a fighting over a donkey's head that could have some food. That was a terrible thing. And they went to the king, and there he is in his royal robe, and he's walking through the city. And they tell him, there's the story. This woman tells her story, and her son is going to die, and he doesn't know what to do. And what does Jehoram do? He opens up his robe, and he's dressed in sackcloth because he's mourning with the people. You don't know what people are doing underneath. You don't know their hearts and what they're doing. There you have it. Here you have this king of Israel, and he is in his purple and his fine linen and all of the rest, and he opens it up, and there's rags, sackcloth. He's mourning with the people. That's the way it was with Naaman. He has a magnificent uniform. He looks so great and so wonderful. He has all the markings of power and glory and honor and position, and underneath it all, leprosy. So we see from among this, we move and look, people, the trappings of riches, the assumption that everything is perfect, the appearance of victory and peace, but beneath it all, there can be a body of disease. There can be a mind that is not at peace. There can be a conscience that bites like a serpent's tooth. There can be a skeleton in a closet. There can be feelings of haunts, and especially at night, there can be hearts filled with regrets. There can be an aching heart, and you don't know a thing about it. Maybe they're worrying about the fear of old age and the fear of death. It can be 1,000 things, and it doesn't show on the surface. And you know what we do about it? We have to be gentle with those people, and we have to be good to everybody. And that person you sit by in church may have a broken heart. And just a word from you, a kind word or a smile, or a gentle touch of a hand, who knows? There are a lot of hurting hearts. Believe me, I'm in the business. And we get letters, oh, my dear Lord, we pray for those people, some of them going through hard times. And so just back off of judging other people. Become more sensitive to the feelings of other people. And we envy others with a lot less, especially those who feel that we may have so much. We just have to put them all behind us and just be a good person and a loving person and show the Spirit of Christ to everyone. Looks can be deceptive. And then there's something else here. We never know how God will use our witness. You know, we talk to some people and they get mad. I talked to a man just on the telephone, and his sister wrote and said, will you call my brother and talk to him, see if he'd accept Jesus? And I don't always call everybody. Sometimes I'll write to them. I said, Holy Spirit, just seemed like you need to call him. And I called him, and no, he didn't want to talk about Jesus. And so you think, oh, that was a failure. No, it's not a failure. God will take that. Who knows what God will do with that one word? Who knows what he'll think? And maybe he's watching the service today, away off in Colorado. You don't know. Just witness. That's all you have to do. So when we come, have him a gentle spirit and show, and then you don't know what God is going to do. You don't know where it's going to go. Look at this little girl. It tells a lot about her. It tells her, first of all, that she knew a lot about God. Now, she was just a little girl, maybe not even in her teens, but she knew about Jesus. She knew about God, and she could witness for God. And that means that we ought to teach our children. We ought to teach our children line upon line and precept upon precept and thought upon thought. And as little children, be like the mother who took her little children, and every night when she put them to bed, she would say, where did you see God today? And she saw, and then they'll tell you, well, I saw a bird fly, or I heard this, or I heard that. The consciousness of a God. And this little girl knew all about God. And she knew this. When I know that there's a prophet in Israel, and I know my God can do everything. And so she gave it out and spoke out. She loved her enemies. She could have says, well, Naaman, I'm glad you got that leprosy, and I hope you really torture you. Oh, no, she says he could be cured. A little girl is telling us something to love our enemies. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, that was way ahead of her, above Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. This little girl's telling us to be so careful. And then it led her commanders in the Syria to come to know Christ, come to know God. He didn't know Christ, of course, but if when you put your faith in Jesus, you can have eternal life. And when we give our witness, you never know where it'll go. You don't know what God's going to do with it. We sow the seed and leave the rest to the Lord. And don't get in a rush about it. You don't sow the seed one day and go out the next day and dig it up and see if it's growing. You sow the seed and you keep on and on and on and you never give up. And God will do what he's going to do. And so then we're told we must obey God in order to find helping and cleansing. We have the cleansing of the soul. We have to have God. There's no other place to find it. And Naaman had to go to God. He had to go God's way, and he had to do it 7 times. And why he did it 7 times in the Bible, 7 is the mark of perfection. You have 7 days in a week. You have 7, the sevens. And I know there may be something there, but I know that he had to just get off his high horse and get down in that river, and he had to go into that water 7 times. And I know people that don't come to Jesus Christ because they're too proud and too high-minded. And so we have to ask the question, will you come for cleansing? I can guarantee you that underneath your garments, if you don't have Jesus, you have something worse than leprosy. You have sin that's going to damn your soul in hell forever. And if you don't get rid of that sin, you'll never go to heaven, because God won't let one speck of sin. And also you wear these good garments, and you wear the garments of good works, and you wear the garments of baptism. You wear the garments of church membership, respectability. You write the of popularity. You hide under everything, but underneath there's just rotten sin that'll put your soul in a Christless eternity. And there's only one way to be clean, and that's to come to Jesus. Come to God. Naaman came to God. He didn't know about Jesus. And no matter who you are, you may be as powerful as Naaman. You may be a little slave girl like this little girl without a name, didn't have even a name. But the only way for cleansing is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something else. Every last one of you has that leprosy of sin. I don't care who you are or where you're at. And if you're not a little child, all the little children belong to God, because he says, of such is the kingdom of heaven. But when you can make that choice, nobody can make it for you. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. He hath the wrath of God waiting. And the only way is to come to Jesus. You have to admit, don't be so proud. Don't be like Naaman and go off in a huff. Because come to your senses and do it God's way. And this is God's way. You come to Jesus and you say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. And I ask you to please come into my heart and take away my sin. And I'll forsake my sin the best I can. And I'll serve you and I'll follow you and I'll do your will the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. Anybody can do that. Don't be so proud. Say, I'm good enough. You're not good enough. And I hope you'll pray that. And if you do, then I'm going to tell you, you write to us. And we'll send you scriptures. And we'll send you some verses to get you started in the Christian life. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I hope that you'll write, and I hope you send a gift to help us in the work. Because James says, you have not because you ask not. We do have needs. And if you think this is something worthwhile, you have to pray for us and support us. And you write to us. But you write to us if you've accepted Jesus in this service. And we'll send you literature free and postpaid. And then we want all of the people that can't get out. And we have people who say, we cannot get out. There's no way for us to travel. You are our church. Well, we think about you that. You should go to church if you possibly can. But some of you can't, I know. And so you just know that we're praying with you and we love you. And we're and trying to encourage you and to give you strength day by day and week by week to love Jesus and trust Jesus. He loves you. So right now, I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the multitudes of people that are coming to Jesus right now, all over the world. We can't see them, but you can see them. And that's all that counts. And I'm praying, Lord, we're praying for the people that might be on beds of sickness. And maybe they're shut-ins, and maybe they're invalids, and we hear from paraplegics, and we hear from all of these people, and you love them, and you'll help them, and you said that if we trust in you, you will never leave us or forsake us, and you'll always help us and give us strength for everything and every day. So we just pray for everyone. And Lord, we pray for these people in Eritrea. We think of them all over the world, the persecuted church. Thank you, dear Jesus, for helping us and for being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you take care of everything. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to thank you for opening the doors and letting us in. I just wish we could see all of you. We can't see all of you, but if you accept Jesus, we'll see you in heaven. And won't that be a celebration? We'll see Jesus first, and we'll worship him and sing the song of the saved. And the song of the saved is the blood of the Lamb that cleanses us from all sin. And that Jesus tells us, come unto him. He wants us to come. So you have a good week. We'll pray for us. We'll pray for you. And if the Lord doesn't come or the Lord tarries, whatever, we'll see you next week. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.